Eurovision.
Welcome to Eurovision, a podcast with a unique Irish perspective on the Eurovision Song Contest.
12 points,
Ireland. All kinds of everything.
Everyone, and welcome back to the Eurovision podcast. We are here with another episode. I know I keep saying it every introduction, but my god, these weeks are flying in. We've got so much to discuss on this episode. We've got the final two songs of 2023 to chat about. That is Armenia and Georgia. We also will be discussing the running orders for semi-final one, finally. So we will finally know where each country will be performing in each semi-final. So we will be discussing that. But first, Louise, we had a very busy weekend because we, of course, saw our runner-up from last year, Mr. Sam Ryder. Do you want to talk about that?
Sam Ryder. Wow. What a guy. We went to the Olympia. I refuse to call it the Three Olympia. Yeah. That is just...
Bastards.
Bastards. That is just not its name. Yeah, so we went along with a few other Eurovision friends, Irish cousins. Hello. And yeah, we had good fun. We actually managed to get into the pit. We were right up the very, very front. We met Sam. So we queued for the pit because we had a few friends arriving from outside of Dublin and we met for food and stuff. So we kind of had the time to queue for pit. And we were second in the queue, really.
Yeah.
And yeah, Sam came out with a leaflet to personally thank everyone for coming to the gig, which was just so lovely, so kind, and not something he had to do at all.
Absolutely not.
Really humble, down to earth guy. And yeah, went in, the gig was amazing. He like has such an incredible voice, great atmosphere. I love how he gets the crowd interaction. I think that's a really great part of his gigs. You really feel part of it, you get to know his songs. A lot of his songs have these refrains, like very Freddie Mercury-esque.
Yes,
kind
absolutely.
Of, this kind of thing you can sing back to him. And he's a bit like a teacher in that sense. He's like, I'll sing, then you sing, sing, then you sing. And then he was splitting up all the crowd into, and he was like, come on now, top row, like, want to hear you guys and stuff. And
he's definitely an arena man, though, not like a theater.
Imagine him
in an arena with, like, you know, 10,000 people.
The pyro and, like, the full works. He needs to be there. I could see him carving out a big enough career that he'll be back here to do that. In fairness, he kind of already is in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then we met him afterwards too, and we stuck up a little video on Eurovision. I think a lot of you liked seeing that. He greeted everyone, all the Eurovision listeners, the people of Ireland.
Yeah.
I kind of panicked
at the moment. What's your message for Ireland?
I think I kind of put him on the
spot.
And
he was like,
pressure! He was basically like, love you guys, I'll be back.
Whoever this message. Is for. Like,
yeah, no, he's very sweet. He's a nice guy. So yeah, we had a good time, Connor, didn't we?
Yeah, lovely fella. And yeah, like to sell out, you know, a show in Dublin, you know, it's crazy. I put up a tweet and, you know, seeing the reaction in the crowd, it's mad. Like, Eurovision doesn't make careers, apparently. And you see Sam Ryder sold out gig. We had Daddy Freyr a couple of months. We had Barbara Pravi. Mm. We've had Leslie Roy. We've
Måneskin are coming.
Måneskin coming. We've got Brooke, of course, doing a big gig in May as well. So all these artists who, you know, aren't big or anything like that can't make a career to Eurovision.
Bullshit.
Crap.
Mm-hmm.
So
it was funny though. Like, remember, Connor, we were kind of in the queue and like around the gig. We were trying to deduce who was Eurovision fans
and who was
and
Sam
who were
Ryder.
Just
yeah,
kind of
yeah,
Sam
yeah.
Ryder fans, maybe TikTok fans or just general fans of his. So it was actually kind of harder to decipher than I thought it would be. When we were up at the bar at one point at the back of the Olympia, there was a few people I was like, oh, I reckon they're Eurovision fans. Mm-hmm. Like, I just had a feeling. And there was some people with Eurovision t-shirts.
Yeah.
And there was a couple of girls there who I went over and said hello to because we met them in the National Concert Hall. They're so lovely. Niamh, I think is one of them, and the name of her sister has escaped me, but lovely girls. One of them had done this piece of artwork for Sam, and she's been doing it for months. And she had like pictures of Sam on it. It was kind of like a storyboard.
Yeah.
And she had pictures of Sam that she drew with the Union Jack, and she loves Disney, she was saying, so she kind of had incorporated Sam then with like some Disney images and stuff. It was really
nice.
And
he loved it as well. We saw her giving it to him
and he kept it really sweet.
Really nice.
And one of our friends, Jean, she got the pick.
Yeah, she did. Yeah. She did. So shout out to Jean, my God.
Yeah, so it was
like
pick.
A war for that pick, you know.
Oh, it was so funny because I was beside her and Sam like chucked it out, and when she went to catch it, it dropped. And there was like a security man, and I started shouting at him. I was like, sorry, excuse me, can you pick that up for her? And I was pointing at my friend, and he just ignored me. And then one of the photographers came over and picked it up, and I was pointing at her, her, because I was like, it's her pick, don't give it to anyone else, because she was about to catch it.
Yeah.
So she got it then, I was delighted for her. Oh, and the band who supported Taurus, we met them a couple times.
I got a lovely photo with them. Yeah, but I met them like in the wrong way. Like I went the wrong way to the bathroom and suddenly ended up like, I thought it was their dressing room. I was like, why is the band that was just on stage out here? I went the wrong way, but they were lovely lads. They pointed me in the right direction anyway. Lovely
so
lads.
Connor.
And also the girl, what's her name?
Charlotte Jane.
Jane. Charlotte Jane.
Layla
Jane. Yeah, my God. We were singing Wild outside the stage door as well. She's brilliant, but I've never heard, I said it to our friend, John. I was like, I've never heard such a lovely song about Hull. Remember the personal song that she wrote?
That is so random.
I was like, this is a beautiful song, but you would never have thought that it's about Hull. It's lovely either way.
Oh, Taurus, yeah. Though. I was loving them. She was indeed. Me and the lead singer.
Oh, no, like, lads, I'm not bullshitting you. Like, full on eye contact at multiple stages. Because we were separated at one point. There was like a barrier in between us. Mm-hmm. And I was shouting across. I was like, Lou, look, get your man. Get your man.
If you are listening, I am currently not taken.
He literally looks like Roman Kemp though, doesn't he?
Oh my God.
Literally his twin.
I did not see that until now, but yes.
I was literally like, brunette Roman Kemp. 100%.
Oh my God, yes, Connor. Yep. Good spot.
Literally his twin.
Excellent spot.
So
there was our weekend anyway, and hope everybody had a lovely Paddy's Day.
Yep.
I'm raging because, of course, if you saw on our socials, it was our Connor's birthday on Patrick's Day. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.
Can I just say as well, thank you for such a lovely post on the Instagram account and Twitter account. It was so nice. And
I was
nice
so glad to see so many listeners weighing in.
Yeah, thank you guys as well. It's so nice to
but
get
guys,
the response.
The reason I'm raging is because I have the most excellent present for Connor, and it's in my house, but I came to Connor directly from work, so I don't have it on me, but I am so excited for Connor to get it that he is going to open it live in the next episode.
Oh,
like on mic, not on camera, on microphone.
Put it up on the Instagram and see.
We could record it as well and just give his reaction, because I kind of want the listeners to be in on Connor's present. I think it's going to be fun. I think it'll be funny. I promise I will have it in my person for the next episode. So please tune in to the next episode so you know what I got Connor for his birthday. I feel like it's on behalf of me and the listeners of Air Fiction. There's like kind of a nice serious element of the present, and then there's just like Lou gone mad on the other part. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So there we go. Next episode. Anyway, for this episode, Connor, we are going to the Caucasus.
Yes.
The last two, 38 and 39 countries to drop their songs. They finally joined the party, and I guess we should kick it off with Armenia.
Yeah, Brunette was the artist for Armenia.
Mm-hmm.
We've known about her participating for a few weeks now,
ages.
I think. There was a little teaser put up a while back. And firstly, I didn't expect this type of song. I thought she was going to go with like a bit of a bop. But
yeah,
we have a kind of slower tempo song. It is called Future Lover. And yeah, here it is.
Oh,
about his future lover for Armenia. Now, my initial reaction is,
just the sound.
Yeah, it's not for me, I'm afraid. It's just not my type of music. It's a bit lullaby and in kind of annoying way. I feel like this is seemingly like a bit of a fan fave, and I think it could crash and burn in the semi. Because I worry, I just don't see this working. It's not captivating enough. They're in semi-final two though, which does of course give it hope, but I'm just like, what's to love? She seems really cool, really edgy. I love the bit of rap in it as well. But I'm like, doesn't do anything for me at all.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't ignite my fire. That's it.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I tend to agree. I'm looking at semi-final two. Like, I think this is lucky to be in semi-final two, to be honest. And sorry, just in general looking, because we're about to get the running order shortly, so it is kind of on my mind. Austria and Slovenia are just going to destroy this semi-final. Like, Jesus. And Belgium's going to do well here. But anyway, yeah, this Armenia, future lover, brunette, lucky to be in semi two, because I don't see this having much of a shout in semi one. A lot of people don't. Semi one is difficult.
Mm-hmm.
This song, I laughed so much. A friend of ours, Oisin, pointed out on Twitter that I think he got it from Discord or something.
Yeah.
That somebody had pointed out that a lot of the lyrics, especially at the beginning, are like stolen from Tumblr posts. Mm-hmm. And if you know, you know, like you get what Tumblr posts are. The first verse, I just want to make art, read books and just find someone who likes me enough to kiss my face. I want to explore with him and visit old bookstores and cute little things like drink smoothies at near cafes. Cafes, excuse me. So the whole, I suppose, premise of the song is the song to her future lover, her hopes, her dreams. I think it's a nice concept, actually. That's probably an element of it I do like. I think that idea of like thinking for his future, oh, my future lover, but it's kind of ambivalent at the moment. It's vague. Mm-hmm. I don't know much about you. Whimsical hope that I have of this. It's very romantic, right? And I think that's kind of cute. But to be quite honest, and I don't want to be harsh, but on my first reaction to this song, and I only really properly digested it with you there a few minutes ago, Connor, so I'm open to my opinion changing.
Mm-hmm.
But the two words that come to mind with this are contrived and pretentious.
Yes.
This doesn't feel very authentic to me, which, like, I feel a bit bold in saying, because, like, who am I to know what's going on in her life?
And exactly,
like,
this,
she's listed as the only songwriter, so it's not like, you know, they went to a songwriting camp with like seven
writers.
Scandies, and like, you know, that this was handed to her. She's listed as the only songwriter, so in fairness to her, it according to Eurovisionworld.com anyway, this has directly come from her.
Yep.
I think she's made an effort with the lyrics. That's nice. I do like the part where it's, oh future lover, I hope it all comes naturally, or hope our love is quiet outside but loud inside. I think that's quite nice, that element of the song. But as for the chorus is such a letdown for me.
It's actually annoying.
It's grating, isn't
it? It's grating.
Connor?
It's like, I decide to be good, do good, look good, repeat it four times.
Be good, do good, look good, be good, do good. It's,
you can't even hear
it
very clearly.
Childish,
it is. It's like, could you not have come up with something more creative?
Yeah.
Because the other elements of the song aren't actually too bad. You know, it's not a massive fan of mine, but you know, that chorus is just a bit on the ear. You know, it's like, oh, give me something else to listen to instead, you know. And it kind of loses you midway through as well. But
The visuals are stunning. There's a really lovely bit where she drops off the platform and then she's safely lying. Like, there's some really good elements here. And I'm disappointed because I'm usually gunning for Armenia. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm usually like, yeah, back in Armenia. And I usually really like what they send too. You know, this really reminds me of, and I liked this other song more, in 2018, Walking Out.
19,
sorry.
Sherbrooke.
Sherbrooke. I'm walking out. I actually quite liked that song. And the video was really cool. And they totally fumbled the bag with the staging. And it just fell apart live. And one of their first, or was it their first NQ? I believe it was.
I think it was their...
Maybe it was their second, but it was. Yeah. It's very unusual for Armenia to end. Oh, wasn't Kami Kami? The one Kami.
Yes, that's the result. The, yeah, it was 2 years in a row that they
They non-qualified, and then they withdrew, didn't they? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this reminds me of Serbuk in that, like, there's potential. I think personally, Walking Out was better than than Future Lover. And I see them going for a similar vibe with this sort of artistic thing. I don't know how they're going to make this work on the stage. I don't see this kind of a ballad being very appealing to televoters.
No.
This is quite cold. You know, when you think of ballads, like, they can be sad or they can be hopeful, or they can be whimsical. They can be all of these things, while still having a warmth and something that draws you to them. I think of Cornelia with Hold Me Closer, I suppose more mid-tempo. A really good example is Netherlands, Steen, De Diepte. Yeah. Like, that was very, she's very endearing. You know, there's a lot of ballads I could think of that an audience would get behind. I don't see the average televoter backing this. It nearly reminds me of Roxanne, actually, as well.
Yeah,
you know, that amnesia, that just, like, there was potential, but, like, it fell apart on the stage, kind of like a lot of us thought it would. We're being pessimistic. Well, I'm being pessimistic. Maybe this will surprise.
Yeah,
maybe.
But yeah, I'm just thinking, though, like, in terms of, like, how do you amplify this now going forward into, you know, heading towards Liverpool? But it's like, the song itself, like you said, it is very cold. There's nothing to warm you and be like, oh, I really like her, you know, sitting
at home.
Maybe
the rap's the saving grace, because that chorus is the disgrace. I just write.
But true. You know, rap, though, is still quite decisive?
Divisive.
There we go. Divisive at Eurovision. I know, obviously, last year we had a winning rap song, but still, rap is still seen as this kind of, oh, it's very hit and miss. If you do well, you do really well. If you don't, you're way off the mark.
Speaking of rap, did you hear my rhyme a minute ago?
What did you say? What did you say? Oh, God.
I think you were on a trail of thought, so you didn't hear me. I think the rap is its saving grace, but it's a shame that the chorus is a disgrace.
Armenia, come... And get Louise. She can help you out with the little revamp, you know?
Ireland's never sent rap to Eurovision, have we?
No, thank you.
If we were going to do it, Down in the Rain would have been a good option. Just saying.
Yeah.
Shout out to the lads.
She's so fine.
That's the wrong song, girl.
No, I know.
So you have a Down in the Rain. Yeah. Do we see this qualifying, Armenia?
My gut is telling me no, but anything can happen. Because semi-final 2 is quite wide open. You know, it
9th
is,
or 10th, I see it slipping in.
Yeah, it's not going to be, you know, a safe qualifier. It could potentially...
This,
you know,
is one I can see scooching in and being in the bottom three in the final. Like, just getting totally forgotten.
But then I could see juries giving us a tiny bit of love at the same time. But
potentially, yeah.
It's hard to know.
Well, we'll move from one area of the caucuses to the other. Georgia is sending Iru with Echo. Isn't a total stranger, of course, to the Eurovision world, given she was part of the group Candy Music, who actually won the Junior Eurovision Song Contest for Georgia some years back. First of all, I am absolutely chuffed she is going to Eurovision for Georgia. I think she's such a talent. I followed a little bit of her journey, getting selected as the Georgian act. And, you know, her final performance was Euphoria, which is like, that's such a mad full circle moment, you know, like in her final performance, vying to get the spot as the Georgian representative. She performed Loreen's Euphoria, and now, 11 years after Loreen's initial win, Iru is going to Eurovision again and competing alongside Loreen with her new song for Sweden. Like, that's, I just think that's so cool. It kind of gives me goosebumps. Oh, it's really cool. It's really, really cool. But as for Iru's entry, Echo, this one seems to be splitting the camp. What are your initial thoughts, Connor? I think I have a feeling of what they are.
That was a very long 3-minute video.
Yeah.
I don't know. It just, it feels very last minute. It feels very put together. You know, the song doesn't feel finished. It's very repetitive. It didn't go anywhere. Yeah, like, I just don't know. It just, it's not for me. Again, like Armenia, it's just not for me. It's not my taste. But usually I can see why people might like it. But for me, this song just does nothing. I appreciate the journey that she's been on in terms of being selected and everything like that. You know, that's fair. But the song which, you know, they've gone with, ultimately, I just don't know if it was a last minute job. That's just what I'm getting from listening to it. It's just very messy, very repetitive. I just struggle to, you know, there's merits in it, of course. You know, it's a nice ethnic kind of song in a way, but it's just very messy. That's my, yeah, just my overall opinion is it's a very messy song.
Mm-hmm.
And too repetitive, and I've just felt like I was watching it on loop for 6 minutes, and I shouldn't feel that. You know, I should be wanting more at the end of it, but I was kind of looking forward to the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that was my opinion.
Fair enough, Connor. I can totally see why you feel that way.
Mm-hmm.
I feel, as I mentioned a few moments ago, I'm really on board with this in a lot of ways, and I really love her. My major issue is fixable, and it's the lyrics. That is my number one problem. Like, what the hell is this song about?
Mm-hmm.
What the hell are those lyrics like? And I don't want to be rude. I think it's very easy as a native English speaker to appear judgmental when non-native English speakers write a song. But I just think, you know, either write it in your own language if you're more comfortable conveying a message that way, or write it in English if you choose to, but like really check over it, because like I just have the lyrics in front of me here. Going through the life together, going through the life together, like off the bat, like, you know, you're running into grammar issues there. Like in dreams. Days in a row, I'm thinking I know, I've got a big faith, my love is my crown, will be better way, will be better day now. It is not a secret. Days in a row, I'm thinking, I know, I've got a big faith. It's the same thing again. Going through the life together. Days in a row, I'm thinking, I know, I've got a big faith. My love is my crown. Will be better way. Will be better day now. It is not a secret. There's a ton of grammatical issues going on in there. And I was listening really closely when we were watching and listening to it. And I couldn't make out much more than, it is not a secret. I could make out that line, it is not a secret. And I was thinking, what's a secret? Yeah. What's the secret? I'm trying to hear what it is and I can't make it out.
The production on that song was very poor.
And if
poor.
I can't make it out in the video, how are we going to make it out on a live Eurovision stage with live vocals, with smoke, with lights, with all of the other things going on?
Yeah.
Now, interestingly, this has been noted by Eurovision fans online. The video has come down off the Eurovision channel, so perhaps they're taking note of that feedback from fans and maybe they're sending it away to polish it up and fix it up a bit, because I don't think this song is dead on arrival. It does feel a bit more authentic to me than Armenia's, which we just discussed. There's something really likable about Iru. There's something I find very engaging about her, and she's absolutely incredible live. So I think she could sell a decent package quite well. But at the moment, the message of the song is getting totally lost in those scrambled up lyrics, and you can't expect televoters to back you, especially a country like Georgia, which traditionally just always struggles to get into the semis. I don't think you can rely on televoters to back you if they don't know what your song is about. Having a great voice or a big voice is not enough if the message of the song is being totally lost on the stage. And Georgia is another country kind of similar to Armenia. I do back them, and like, I'm kind of one of those people who, like, not in a trying to be quirky way, but even when people tend to not like them, I do really back Georgia. I liked Your Man, Tornike, and You, and like Midnight Gold, the one that did qualify. I've always liked that. And they've had such a long string of non-qualifications. I just think they have so much potential here with her. And I want them to fix this really badly. Do you think it's salvageable though, Connor, at the moment in semi two?
No.
No.
Okay. I don't think so.
I think it's slim, but I think they have a chance if they fix it.
I think lyrically, like, if that's what you're saying, lyrically, that's the issue. I just don't think writers will change. I think instrumentally, they're more open to change things, but lyrically, we very rarely see it change much in songs. Not to say that it will never happen, but I just always see it as less of a chance of happening.
Do you not
that.
Think, though, there's a difference between artists seeing, like, you know, let's take Ireland as an example this year. Let's just, like, break the fourth wall. A lot of fans don't like Wild Youth's lyrics in their song this year. But the issue isn't that people don't understand the song. People understand it perfectly. I think people's issue is more that, like, it's a message song and we've heard it a lot of times before. Yeah. But it's not an actual, like, English language issue. And I completely understand why Wild Youth wouldn't want to change those lyrics if in writing that song that's how Connor felt and what he wanted to convey. But in George's case, the issue is not that people don't love the message, it's that people aren't here, they don't understand the song. So yeah, that's why it coming off the Eurovision channel briefly has made me wonder, are they saying, ooh, okay, let's get someone in to help us to make this clearer?
Would you be more open then if it was put into their native language as opposed to
absolutely
English then?
Absolutely. Now, I wouldn't want them, like, I think if they want it to be in English, that's fine. Like, but fix it.
Yeah.
You know, because at the moment, it's not passable.
Mm-hmm.
So it is currently 5:59. So Connor and I are going to go and watch the Running Water video. And then we're going to hop
straight on
back
to
on
initial
to discuss it all with you guys.
See you on the other side.
Okay, so we're back. If you saw our Instagram stories at all on the day of the Running Order reveal, you'll already have a little taster, a little idea of how Connor and I are feeling. There was a little bit of shouting at Connor's telly going on at points.
A lot of...
And I was laughing, saying, Connor, your family are going to think I'm demented. The scream I let off.
Oh, yeah.
Malta second in semi-final.
We'll get
one.
Into that.
Yeah. So, running orders have been revealed for semi-final one and semi-final two of Eurovision. Just to really quickly re-explain, because we did have a few questions on our Instagram of people asking, could we explain? So, what is randomly allocated is the allocation draw in January, which Rylan and AJ hosted. All of the countries that are in the semi-finals, so everybody except for the Big Five and Ukraine, all of the rest of the countries in the semi-finals are randomly allocated semi-final one or semi-final two from the pot. Once that has been done, each country is then allocated either first half or second half. So that is all random. And then what you have is a collection of entries in the first half, a collection in the second half, and it is then producer decided.
Yeah.
Where each song goes. And to me, it makes a lot of sense because it means you have a strong show opener. It means that you're separating out genres. It means you have a strong show closer. It means that producers can consider staging, like, you know,
that's a huge factor.
If there's tricky staging or something that has to be put on the stage for an entry, it can be before or after an ad break, whatever it may be. Another good example in terms of separating genres is if you consider the second half of semi-final two, we've got San Marino, rock song, Slovenia, pop rock song, Australia, rock metal song. Very, like, okay, not the same songs or not the same quality, but very similar genres. Yep. And they've separated them out nicely, you know, with two or three other songs wedged between them all. Be a bit of a disaster if those three were one after the other in a randomly allocated draw. And it could hinder each other's chances because they're just similar and people could get mixed up voting and whatever. So will we just get started and run through?
Yeah.
Semi one, Connor, read us through, please.
This is semi one, so we're going to go through the first half of each country that was drawn in that first half. So opening our semi-final, opening Eurovision 2023, is Norway. In second place, or second spot, is Malta. Then we have Serbia in third. Fourth is Latvia. Fifth will be Portugal. Sixth will be Ireland. And then seventh will be Croatia. So those are all the countries that were drawn into the first half of the first semi-final back in the allocation draw back in January.
So kick me off, pressing thoughts there.
I'm actually very, very happy with it. Mm-hmm. I think it's a very strong opener with Norway. Yeah. Powerful vocal, powerful song, get the crowd going with the...
Popular song, it's been very viral, popular. People know it.
Very popular, yeah. So I'm happy with that. Malta then in second place is a bit Rager. Of a shock.
Oh, Rager!
Louise was screaming.
EBU! My boys!
But you know what, I think they'll be fine. I think they'll be fine.
Why are they starting this trend of putting the fun brass instrument songs like Latvia last year?
Because
in
before
spot?
We used to have the kind of dead on arrival songs.
They're like changing it up now.
The only thing I would say is that if you're going to do this new trend of, you know, up-tempo songs, why don't you put something that is pretty much a guaranteed qualifier like a Norway? There's nothing really else
for fun path. And just see
for fun because
it will go through anyway.
It will go through anyway. Yeah, so why true. Not give another country maybe the opportunity to
elevate qualifier? That's very fair.
But yeah, anyway, Malta in second spot. Then we have Serbia. Quite early on, in my opinion, I thought we might have seen this in the middle, kind of 6-7 spot.
I still think this is a good spot for him.
It is. It is
because it's a nice change up in tempo. Like Norway and Malta, it's very upbeat, the party's getting started. And then Serbia's kind of bringing us down, getting serious, getting dark, getting artistic. And, you know, I think Latvia's maybe in a bit of trouble where they are. I'm quite relieved for Ireland. We are not after Serbia, to be honest. Because I do think those three starting off the show, that's pretty strong.
Yeah, very strong.
Which leads us on to Latvia. I don't think it's a great spot for them, to be honest.
No, they needed a good running order, in my opinion. I'm not a fan of the song at all. So I would be worried for their chances now. Just coming after Serbia, being it's so different, so unique.
We shall see.
But then you go to Portugal in fifth, which is very different, very standalone in terms of genre this year. There's nothing really that cabaret style kind of manic song.
I see televoters maybe just responding because
it's different.
It fits with Portugal. It's, you know, it's Portuguese. It's very Portuguese. It's like other country could send this. So I don't know. It'd be interesting.
Though you say that, I think that Portuguese style, we think back to Susie in 2014, that was very Portuguese. And that failed to qualify. Whereas I feel like this song is a bit...
I feel this is more Portuguese than Susie.
Really?
Susie was a bit more like holiday camp in inverted commas Portuguese. Do you know what I mean? Like, not like... Kind of like... not. I don't use her cringy because I do love Susie, but...
Playing up to...
A bit of a cheap, whereas this feels to me a bit more... authentic.
But then again, I think televoters might respond to that then, because it is a bit more Portuguese, but instead of playing up to the view of Portugal as well.
Following up then, of course, is us.
It's us, sixth place.
Which we weren't expecting, Connor. We were looking at first. We kept saying 1, 2, or 3. When it wasn't us opening, we were kind of like,
we were second.
Oh, we're second or third. And I was saying to you, mentally prepare yourself, we're second or third, which definitely would have been a bit of a nail in the coffin.
Yeah.
So, I think we're going to struggle in the semi anyway. Let's stay realistic about it. But being between Portugal, Croatia, and then Switzerland after, I don't think that's terrible.
I don't think it
is. It's not.
It's not. And I think I actually feel much more hopeful about our chances now. Not saying that it's guaranteed now or anything like that. But I would see us maybe squeaking in because you have Latvia, which is a band in fourth. Then you have us in sixth. But the next band really isn't until... Czechia, really? Like, in terms of, like, a group duo?
Or if you said the duo 12th Azerbaijan.
Do you know what I mean? So, like, we're quite far away from the groups that we were worried about in terms of standing out. So...
we're probably after a break. It might have been nicer if we'd been before a break. That's the end. It would be nicer to be before the break. Just people go to the toilet and go to make their cup of tea and they might miss the start of your song.
And don't expect the break to be that quick. Yeah.
So that's
that
not
could hinder us.
Great. But we will see. I was laughing then. Croatia's after us in seventh. I was saying, imagine we were seventh. Like, I would have just had so many jokes to make. But no, never mind.
No.
Croatia in seventh.
It's definitely standing out.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to stand out anyway, isn't it?
True, yeah.
Maybe not great for us to be before them, actually, but I just...
I would probably like to have swapped us around.
The more I'm thinking about it, no, I think we're better to go before them.
Really?
Because people will be too busy talking about them after their performance to concentrate. Like, who's after them? Switzerland. That's not great for Switzerland to be after Croatia. I just see them going through with the televote as time's going on, talking to more people. I'm like, yeah, I see Croatia going through. The televote. So then we are brought into the countries who were allocated into the second half of this semi-final. So we have in 8th position of the running order, Switzerland, 9th, Israel, 10th, Moldova, 11th, Sweden, Loreen, 12th, Azerbaijan, 13th, Czechia, 14th, Netherlands, 15th, and last, Finland. Cha, cha, cha. So, Switzerland in 8th, Connor.
This is dead.
Do you think so?
This is dead between the manic nature of Croatia and the bop that is Israel.
Yeah.
This is dead.
And there's no jury love.
There's no jury love to support this. Yeah. So this is going to die on death's door. This could be the results.
I think I agree with you, to be
13th,
honest,
14th, possibly. You know, people could forget this very, very easily.
Shoved in the middle of the second, third of
the crazy, you know, songs. You
that's mean, not good.
Especially as well when you factor in Moldova in 10th as well.
Yeah.
And then you're going into Loreen. Like,
the last run of songs, like, I could, like, what I'm
boom,
looking here.
Boom.
The
boom.
Seven here, I could see 6 of the 7 qualifying.
Absolutely.
I'm kind of taking Azerbaijan out of the equation. But let's move on then. After Switzerland, and 9th is Israel. Touch and go staging, it depends.
Yeah.
The song has a lot of potential.
Mm-hmm.
And Noah's obviously very loved and established. Yeah. So we'll see what happens there. Moldova in 10th. I think it's good.
Perfect.
I think that's really... With Israel and Moldova, we're getting Eurovision, the party started, you know?
People be up on their feet.
Mm-hmm.
Then Loreen, tattoo, 11th spot.
We were laughing. We were like, put her anywhere.
Yeah, you got to put
her... If she was in the first half, put her second for the laugh.
Absolutely.
There's no way she's not qualifying.
Yeah.
And I think... I was saying to you... This is slightly earlier in the semi. I would have maybe thought it was going to be going in like 13th, maybe. Mm-hmm. But I think putting it 11th is fine because it allows them leg room if she's drawn into the second half of the final. Like, we're not even presumed. Like, we're just... She is in the final.
Yeah.
If she's drawn into the second half of the final, it means they can put her right near the end if they don't put her near the end of the semi-final. So this just gives them leeway for the running order for the final. That's... I reckon that's what appeared in the producers' minds.
Mm-hmm.
Good luck, Azerbaijan.
Oof,
performing
another one dead
after Sweden and
absolutely
before Czechia.
Yeah.
Like, all those powerful women involved.
They were struggling, even, you know, getting
see
to
you later.
The field. Now they're gone. They're gone.
See you later.
Another
and of course, followed by Czechia. They're incredible.
Yeah,
they're going through.
They're going through.
They are going through.
If the staging's right, that's the only worry for me. But you know,
they're going through. They're my queens. Mm. There's no way I'm not seeing them.
Still
in the
slightly
final.
Worried for them, but I think it's a good one.
I am more worried for the next duo, who I love so much, the Netherlands, 14th. Not ideal to be between Czechia and Finland, but I see these last three all making their way into the final somehow. I'm hoping this could be a nice palate cleanser for the ballad lovers. I see this getting televised. I do. I see it.
I see the last two. My worry would be Czechia. Not for the running...
You're wrong.
No! just for the staging ability of it. I just worry for it. I think the Netherlands will be so different and standing out, you know, between Finland and Czechia.
Yeah.
And there's nothing really like it in this run of songs. You know, we have, from 9th really, we have banger, 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 shit, banger... Nice, lovely song. Yeah. Banger. Do you mean it stands out
if you're looking
amongst
at balance,
the crowd?
Like Switzerland and Azerbaijan.
Azerbaijan.
I'm like Linda Woodruff.
Azerbaijan.
That needs to be clipped.
What the fuck?
Fuck's sake. As a ballad.
Oh my
Switzerland
God.
And Azerbaijan,
there we go,
do not hold a candle to the Netherlands. But of course, like, how could it have been anyone but Finland closing the semi, Connor? I think we were in agreement. It had to be cha-cha-cha.
Yeah.
People will be looking forward to this. This ends the show with a cha-cha-cha.
Boom.
Bang-a-bang. Show closed. Finland in the top two of the results of the semi, I have no doubt. This, him going last, could really be the game changer in terms of propelling him above Loreen in semi-final results. I can't wait till Eurovision's over and we see the semi results versus the final results. Yeah. Because I could see it happening that, like, you know, say Finland wins the semi-final, but then Sweden wins Eurovision. Like, because you've got more sets of countries voting and stuff and all the rest. But I could, and you have different viewers too watching the semis versus the grand final. But yeah, I think it's going to be interesting. A quick question from one of our lovely listeners before we move to semi two, Connor. It was from Niamh on Instagram, and Niamh's a great gal for sending in the questions and responding to the boxes. So thank you, Niamh. And she's been messaging us a bit today and she was saying, like, thanks, gang, Eurovision gang. I just thought that's so cute. So yeah, any listeners out there, if you want to be in the Eurovision gang, you're in the gang. Niamh is like the originator of the gang. But Niamh has asked us anyway that if we're recording a podcast right now, which we are, that she would like to hear our views of the placements of the top three favourites to win with the fans, Sweden, Finland and Norway. I think that's a very fair, valid question. They probably are the favourites, or among the top three favourites with fans. I think it's excellent running order for all three. I don't think it could be better for any of them, nearly.
Yeah, true. And again, like we said, place them anywhere and they would have qualified safely.
Norway could have closed the first half also. But, like, yeah, I think Norway could have gone anywhere.
It's a good placement, though, because literally start, middle and end, really.
True.
When you think of it, maybe just one spot off for
when you think that could be our Eurovision top three, possibly all coming from semi one. It's, but, like,
what a strong semi.
Especially that second half.
That second half.
I only see Azerbaijan and Switzerland in trouble out of those, seven?
So, going now, who would be your 10 qualifiers?
Should we come back to that, Connor? Because that's, like, a big discussion for another day.
Just, like, off the cuff, straight off the bat. You have to go off that running order.
Set qualifiers. Norway, Serbia, Croatia, Moldova, Switzerland, Czechia, Netherlands, Finland, maybe Israel. Am I on 10?
Think so.
Yeah.
I lost you because you went
Portugal, back. Ireland, flip-flop. I'm looking more at Portugal, though. I'm not going to lie to you.
I think my 10 qualifiers, Norway, Malta.
I forgot my Maltese.
That's what I was wondering. I was like, she like blanked them. I think
them
Norway,
second.
Malta, Serbia, Ireland, Croatia, Hopeful. Israel, Moldova, Sweden, Netherlands and Finland.
You've left Czechia out there. Yeah, that's incorrect.
I just have a bad feeling.
That's wrong.
I have a bad feeling.
I am going to come back to you about this.
You know what? I think Czechia could be like Poland 2019. No. That ethnic bop.
2019.
Yeah, I know you hate Poland.
Oh, that was terrible.
No.
What are you on about? Jesus. This is worlds apart from that mess.
I know. But I'm just getting those similar vibes. I had it last year with Cyprus. I just had a feeling Cyprus was just not going to do well.
But everybody did last year, though, with Cyprus.
No, I was fighting Cypriot people on the days of rehearsals. I remember I had DMs being like, what the fuck are you talking about?
No.
I just had that cheeky feeling that Czech
no.
might
No, Czechia has got like top 10, even top 5 potential. Cyprus was nowhere near that.
I don't know. I just have a really bad
feeling.
I'd love to put it out there. I love to see it qualify, but I just have a really bad feeling we might be upset. There's always an
upset. I'm going to make you feel better. It's qualifying.
But there's always an upset, Lou. There's always an upset.
But it's not going to be Czechia.
Who would it be then?
I don't know. Not Czechia.
Not my Czech.
Malta, I could see upsetting me more than Czechia. Czechia
well,
is
Well, then
going
I'd swap Malta and Czechia then. Possibly.
Oh, no, I'm not telling you. Like, I'm joking.
No, I know, but I think it'd be between those two then.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, shite. That's not good news for me.
No.
There'll be a meltdown had on this end anyway.
Anyway, second semi-final then.
Here we go.
Semi-final, I'm sorry.
It's so true. Shite. I would like Connor to kick us off because we let out a very funny reaction to the opener.
Ooh.
We were convinced it was Belgium. We were like,
convinced.
Has to be Belgium. Get
convinced.
The party.
But anyway, it is Denmark, Riley opening up semi-final 2. We have Armenia in the second spot, Romania in third, fourth will be Estonia, Belgium in fifth, Cyprus in sixth, Iceland in seventh. And that is the first half, I believe.
Greece in eighth.
Technically. So, yeah, that is the first half. Then in ninth, we have Poland. 10th will be Slovenia. 11th, Georgia. 12th, San Marino. 13th will be Austria. 14th, Albania. 15th, Lithuania. And closing the semi-final will be Australia.
Denmark, so, great opener.
Very good opener.
Feel good.
Very shocked, though. We didn't expect it. Wouldn't have thought that he would be an opener, but...
That makes him a certain qualifier in my mind, especially given who's following him. And he's going to be very likeable on camera. It's going to be bright. Yep. It's going to open up the second semi. Feel good. He's going through.
Funny as well, the two big kind of TikTok stars.
Yeah.
Are opening the semi-finals.
Do you think there's something in that?
Possibly.
To very draw possible. In viewers yeah. and like get everybody watching. I think there
wouldn't
could be.
Wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah.
Wouldn't put it past it.
Yeah. Yep,
absolutely. Armenia in the second spot now. We were only discussing Armenia earlier and saying that running
great.
Order. Very bad. I think this
it's
is
not
dead
great.
Name. This
yeah.
is dead.
Yeah.
And it doesn't give me a lot of hope for staging wise in terms of, you know, if it had a big staging package, it would be later in the running order to give
possibly.
Them time to set it up. Do you know what I mean? That seems to be the trend. So,
yeah.
Oh, I'm worried
unless
for Armenia.
Unless Armenia surprises us. Like, they're always a little bit more last minute with things that they do. So, you don't know for sure. Armenia can come through. I don't think it's 100% loss in the abyss, but I will say it's not looking good. Who the person or the country who is 100% loss in the abyss, put them on RIP.ie Romania.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Can I just say...
I don't even know the song.
I fucking have Romania she's in a sweepstake.
Yeah, you're fucked.
And I am so angry.
I swear,
so
we're
angry.
Not drunk, lads. Like, we're very ready today. We're not drunk.
We're just excited.
We're just swearing, yeah.
This is a big deal for Eurovision fans.
Oh, it is,
running
it is.
So
it
much
is.
For us to digest. Moving on then, Estonia in fourth. It's okay.
Yeah, again.
It's okay.
Like, this semi-final seems to be very random. Like, I don't know.
Armenia, Romania, Estonia is a bit of a boring run.
Yeah.
And you need something to wake you up after this, which is... Because of you. Belgium is fifth, and that's when the party... Guess going in the semi.
Like,
thank God.
To think that he was so hated on early in this national final season.
Connor and I knew.
We said it from the start. This is a bop. This is going to do well.
We've been new.
This could be top three in the semi.
Yeah, I see it.
Very easily. Very easily.
Televoters will love this. It's fun. He's so likable.
It's a bop.
The dancing, like the backing singers.
It'll wake you up.
It's bright, it's fun.
Absolutely.
Liverpool will definitely go for this. Oh. Like, the crowd will be like, yeah, look at that guy.
Need
Let's go. Disco. Woo. Definitely.
And then we're right back down again. To Cyprus.
Back to Cyprus.
In eighth. Or sixth, sorry.
This, though, like, depending on Andrew's live performance, I think it could pull through.
Yeah.
You know, we've got Panic Records involved. Mm-hmm. Obviously, not a bad history behind them in terms of results. Like, checkered, I'd say, but not bad. Their staging can be good in Cyprus. Like, last year, the staging was good. The problem was kind of the vocals.
Mm-hmm.
I think Andrew's vocals are pretty strong. So let's see what happens there with Cyprus.
Yep.
Followed by... Power, Iceland, in seventh. I see why they did this. They did Cyprus, Iceland, Greece. They needed to split up Cyprus and Greece from each other. Very funny, like... Getting the two island nations and then the two neighbours and it's all... Yeah, Cyprus, Iceland, Greece. It's a funny little run. I don't think it's great for her, but...
No.
Do you know what? No, it's probably better she's later in this half. I would say.
Dead on arrival, I'm sorry.
Do you think?
Yeah, I think so.
They're always going to struggle with the tell about Iceland, aren't they? Yeah. Mm.
It's not
followed
a great
by Greece, then.
You know what? I actually think it's a decent spot for him.
We just know so little, like, at the moment in terms of him and the vocals, so...
But he's between two females, like, with, you know, powerful vocals.
Yeah.
Well...
Sorry. I'm sorry for the song that's coming after this. New.
No, but I mean, in terms of, like, Iceland, in terms... It's a very hard-on-the-ear song, you know.
Yeah, it's degrading.
Do you mean? Whereas he will have a very good.
Cyprus and Greece are going to give each other 12 in the televote, so that's always a help to get a guaranteed 12.
So, yeah, I think that's a good placing for Greece, if I'm
sorry,
honest.
Just to run back to Cyprus really quick, Australia are voting in this, and Andrew Lambrou, that's do you know what? It's looking better for him as we go through this. Like, Greece and Australia guaranteed high points.
And if it's anything like last
good
year.
Good looking fella, good singer.
Remember last year we had a sad boy. You know, songs in the final, and that was televoters. So, and jury.
Well,
it was more
so
jury, but you know,
It's touch and go.
Yeah,
it is touch and go. Jay's is opening the second half with solo. They need to sort this out so much. There is a lot to be done.
Yeah, even though in fairness to her, she wasn't that bad in Stockholm. She actually sounded decent.
Oh, I didn't see that.
She sounded decent, so I'll give it to her.
Was she standing still?
Was she dancing? She had choreo.
She was dancing.
She was dancing. Most of it was Brooke's choreo from last year's house.
The windmill.
Yeah.
Stop
windmill.
That.
And she was leaning on the dancers. And she was actually wearing the denim dress that Brooke wore in like a photo shoot
for
Eurovision.
Sake.
But you never know.
Gosh.
We'll see. 10th then, Slovenia, your lads, your faves.
They could win this whole semi-final.
They could win.
I think up there with Austria, Belgium, Australia is going to do well.
Shit.
I think Slovenia are going to get a big televote. They're so likeable. Yeah. They'll have that kind of Måneskin appeal. They're really, really likeable. They're singing in their own language. It's authentic. The guys work the camera so well. The crowd will go for them. How quality is this coming after Poland? You know, Poland is like, oh Jesus, it's like the lost sweet at the bottom of your handbag, and Slovenia's like, you know, beautiful apple drops from the sweet store. Like, there's no comparison, do you know what I mean? Moving on then to the 11th spot, Georgia. I don't know. It's kind of a weird place to be sandwiched in between Slovenia and San Marino, two kind of rocky songs.
Yeah.
I'm unsure with this one, like, we'll see.
It's a very hard semi-final to judge because there's a lot of made songs.
This could be random.
It could be random.
Yeah. She could push through. Like, if they... We talked a bit about Georgia earlier in the episode, so maybe if they tweak a few things.
I feel like this semi-final is going to be... The faves will run away with it, and everyone else will be... It'll be a 1-point, 2-pointer kind of difference between the two.
I think you're right, and we'll come to those at the end. There's about four. I'm like, they are definitely topping this thing. San Marino in 12th. I think they could come last.
Yeah.
Overall in both semi-finals for the year. Like, I think they could be 37th overall.
I think so, yeah.
Are they going to get any televote? Is Italy voting in this semi?
No.
No.
I don't think so,
See
no.
you later.
Yeah, no dead.
Good luck.
Austria then.
In contention to win the whole semi.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a lovely running order. In fairness, looking at this, you could have put them anywhere.
True,
in
the second half.
I did think they were going to close. But again, kind of similar to Loreen, I'm happy enough that they didn't put them on right last, because it means if they're in the final.
Yeah.
In my mind. So if they're drawn into the second half of the final, again, it helps them to get a later draw.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that they're not like at the end here.
Yeah.
This is running away with televote. This is a great draw for Austria.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's really good.
Albania then, 14th.
It's not bad. Like, I actually, you can make an argument for these last four to all qualify. Albania less so than the other three, but Albania never do too badly in the televote. They've got bulk and appeal. The fact that it's a family affair, televoters might like that.
Yeah.
And it's, I don't really see Western voters going for this, but I see it being backed by Central Europe and Eastern Europe.
Yep.
So, yeah, it's not bad for Albania. It's a pretty good draw.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Lithuania, she's going through now.
She's
penultimate. And it's really good too. It's a really strong song. Televoters will remember this.
Going into the voting, they'll be humming it.
And she's so, like, good with the camera. She's really likeable. The backing dancers, the backing singers, I should say, are great.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Closing then, Australia.
Like you predicted, Connor, you were correct.
It's a great show closer.
You're right.
Get the crowd going as well. I think as well, the EBU are probably being a bit nice to Australia because they are in their final year of their contract.
Yeah.
This might entice them to come back if they get, you know, a good running spot.
Yeah.
Into the final. Possibly might be just a little help to nudge them back because, you know,
they've been dropping off ever so slightly.
They have.
And
we talked about that when the song was revealed. We went into a bit of detail about that.
I think I mentioned this on our Instagram stories, but I haven't said it here on the podcast yet. You were right, Connor, in saying Australia being last in the running order. It was a good shout.
Yeah.
Especially because you have Slovenia, San Marino and Australia all with entries, not exactly in the total same genre, but within the sphere of rock, pop rock Slovenia, we'll say rock San Marino, and like rock metal for Australia. So the fact that you have them spread out nicely in this half helps all three of them, well, like San Marino, DOA, but it definitely helps both Slovenia and Australia not to be placed too close together. If you had a randomly allocated draw and you had one after the other, it wouldn't be great. So it's good to see that the producers separated them out, giving them all a fair shout, all their moment to shine.
Yeah.
And hopefully people who go for that kind of music will vote for them all. But there's such an audience out there for Australia. So I see this doing well.
100%. I think so as well.
So Connor, who's winning Semi 2? Who's running away with it? What do you think?
I think it's between Belgium, Austria and... Slovenia, I guess, yeah. Those three. I think that's our top three.
I'm locking in. I genuinely think the top five has to be Denmark, Belgium, Slovenia, Austria and Australia. Yeah. I see that being a televote top five. Easy money. Agree. And I see Lithuania getting in there. I see Estonia, maybe. Cyprus and Greece. There's an argument for both. Albania.
Yeah.
And that nearly brings you to the 10. And yeah, I think this is the semi that might surprise us slightly more. And that will be like, oh, okay.
It's so open.
They were kind of borderline, but yeah. Like fair play to them. They did it.
Interesting fact as well. The last time Ireland performed sixth in the semi-final was Jedward in 2011. And that year we came top 10.
You've just reversed back to Ireland so quickly. Do you see a top 10 for us this year?
Oh, absolutely not. But like, you know, final, here we come.
Fair enough. If it's a good omen, we will take it.
Yeah, but that is our semi-final. I'm sure we'll dive more into it as we get, you know, digested a bit more.
We'll need to do like a separate episode.
A proper in-depth look. And just with the stats and everything.
A few pre-parties as well. See some live vocals. Get a flavour for what's happening. We also need to sit with these running orders for a bit.
Yeah, we do. So,
let's see. Okay guys, that is all we have time for today. Connor is literally about to hurl out the door to go to an Ireland match. Let's go. Yup, Ireland.
The country.
Yup. When is Connor not supporting Ireland, honestly? The man has every form of Let's Go Ireland merchandise he could have, whether it's Eurovision, FAI, whatever it is. But yes, that is all we have time for today. We hope you enjoyed the episode. It is good to be back. Please do let us know what you think of Armenia, what you think of Georgia, and what you think of the running order of semi-final 1 and semi-final 2 in Eurovision 2023. You can, of course, find us across lots of different socials. You can find us on Instagram at Eurovision Podcast. You can find us on Twitter at Eurovision Pod. We are on TikTok. We are on YouTube. You can email us at eurovisionpodcast@gmail.com. Please do give us a review wherever you're listening, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. Give us the 5 stars, help Please. Other fans, find us, especially Irish fans. We just love hearing from Irish fans. It's such a joy. And just want to say a big thanks to Gerv Mila Mahagwiv again to all those people who send us Instagram DMs and Twitter DMs and tweets and emails and everything. We really appreciate it. It's great to hear from you. And we want to know what you think.
Keep an eye on our Instagram and stuff because I'm heading to Barcelona. For the pre-party, yeah. So we'll have some little content coming your way.
I'm so jealous. He's going to conga line without me. FOMO.
So we'll have some content up on our social media platforms. So I'm sure we'll be discussing it when I'm back as well. So keep an eye on our socials. That's the most important thing.
And good luck to Ireland in the match tonight. Yeah. Bye.
We're playing against Latvia, so we are
Battle
one versus, yeah. versus Southern Lights.
But probably the two worst Eurovision countries of the last decade. Oh, Battle of the Mids. Anyway, thank you guys. Grimiwa Hagwiv, it's all we have time for. We will see you in the next episode. And all there is to say is
Slongafon. Slongafon.